What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Man, it is a great day. Wasn't sure what we were going to talk about today, and then all kinds of stuff happened and made our jobs a little bit easier.
A little bit easier, right? Yeah, I was
a little bit, yeah.
As I was like putting together the thumbnail this morning and thinking about like, okay, what's the show going to be about? Like, how much? Didn't want to just continue recapping the same stuff over and over again. You know, just thinking about, all right, what are some of the things that we're going to talk about? You know, came up with the idea of like, you know, the final, like pieces are starting to fall, you know, starting to come together, you know, we're starting to get like a what this 2023 version of this team is going to look like. And then with the the owners meeting going on out in Phoenix, we were starting to get some interesting sound bites today. And so I guess before we get too much into it, I'd like to say, what's going on, chat? How are y'all? Glad y'all are deciding to
welcome everyone
join us tonight. And I guess might as well just go ahead and get into it. All right, got my bottle of water, got everything I need to get this thing popping and hopping, and we might as well not necessarily bury the lead, but go ahead and start off with Desmond Ridder has officially been named QB1 for the 2023 Falcons season. Put to bed a lot of like speculation that a lot of us had. I think a lot of us felt like that was going to be the case, that Ridder was going to get the chance to play or going to get the chance to start. A little bit out of the bag in a sense, and maybe that's why they have changed their tune, which we'll get into that here in just a minute. But the cat kind of got out of the bag with some of the comments that Heinicke made when he was brought on. You know, talking about like he's just happy to be here to, you know, assist Desmond and all that other jazz. The comments that they may not have wanted him, you know, to make, but cat's out of the bag. Now you kind of get the confirmation from Arthur Smith today at the coach's breakfast, you know, basically saying that they foresee Desmond taking a step forward and that he's going to be the starter in 23. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I guess it pops the balloon of all the Lamar lovers. You know, look, I got nothing against Lamar. I think he's a great player. But like all the people that were pining over that, we'd just gotten over it. Then all of a sudden all this stuff happens with, him talking about being requesting a trade. And now everybody's back in on it, and now they got to burst that bubble again. But for me, based on the comments that I had heard from Blank, from Arthur Smith, from Terry Fontenot, this seemed like the obvious, like absolute obvious path forward for this team. In that they have a guy that they feel or that they are comfortable with, they like. He's not going to cost them a ton of money right now.
Yep.
They can use that cap space they had this year and even potentially more next year. Because so, at least so far, we haven't had to restructure anybody this offseason. We haven't had to restructure like the two big guys left, Jake Matthews and Grady Jarrett. Those two guys, we had them kind of in our back pocket. Like if we absolutely had to,
right? I think they did a restructure on Matthews in January, but it kind of last January.
Yeah, not this past. He has not been restructured this offseason. He restructured last offseason.
Right.
So. This offseason, the only guy they technically restructured is, well, guess Lindstrom technically just re-signed.
Yeah, we re-signed McGarry. We extended Lindstrom, so that's not really a restructure.
It moved some money around for this year. We saved some money this year, so there was a little bit of a restructure. Yeah, I would put that in the restructure-ish.
I see what you're saying.
But like the actual restructuring, like a Jake Matthews or Grady Jarrett, we haven't had to dip into that, so we don't have that. Adding to our cap next year.
Right. We're not kicking the can down the road.
Right. So
in that aspect.
So next year we could be looking at even more money than what we had this year, potentially. And, you know, we're going to sign some guys. So potentially, you know, depends on how he goes, depends on what we do in the draft. Maybe we re-sign AJ Terrell or not.
Maybe
they'll let him walk and, Christian Gonzalez or Witherspoon or Joey Porter, whatever becomes your quarterback,
CB1 or what have you.
Yeah, but as far as the specifically about the Ritter thing, I think the kid deserves it. Terry Fontenot come out and said, like, every time I check in on the kid to see how he's doing, he's working. And that's one thing we heard about all the way through college. This guy has worked for everything that he's gotten. This guy has been the hardest worker everywhere he's been, and he's going to continue to be that no matter where he's at going forward, whether that's here or anywhere else. So I like a guy like that, and I like giving that kind of a guy the shot. Now, if he comes out this coming season and it doesn't work, okay, it doesn't work.
You move on. It's
but you're not out 3-4 picks potentially. Right. $50 million because your guy that you brought in falls flat on his face or gets injured for the whole season or something like that, and you're stuck with him.
Right.
Like this guy, you can drop with minimal hit to your cap if necessary. And then, you know, now you still have all your picks for next year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you feel like you have a guy that you really need to move up for, that you feel, and on top of that, you go through another free agency. We add more talent to the team through this draft and free agency, and you have a much more a closer to complete team next year by the time the draft rolls around. And you look and see, is there a guy in this draft that we really like? And right. If you like him, then you go get that guy and you try again. But now you have a better team overall.
Uncle Steve's Lounge over here says, not to overcorrect, but they did rework Matthews' contract in January this year.
I could have swore it was last year.
Yeah, I thought they had reworked it right before the season had ended, and we all kind of were like, you know, slightly confused by that. But either way, Jake Matthews ain't going nowhere. And, you know, I don't think it's going to – whatever rework they did in January isn't going to hinder – what they do going forward. I'm going to kind of switch it up a little bit today. I want to highlight some folks before we get real deep into much anything. Charles B says, what's up, guys? What's going on, Charles? How are you tonight, sir? And another PR says, hola, everyone. Hello.
Hola.
let's see. Woon Carter, our good buddy Woon, says, what's up, JR and Big John? Glad to see you guys on Tuesday night. We are glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Very much so glad to be here. Bradley Burnett says, howdy, everyone. Bradley, I need to do me a favor, put a message in chat. How's the moderator thing going? Is that still, you still good with that? I know I hadn't reached back out to you lately, but I saw your name and I wanted to see how you were doing with that. So if you could let me know, that would be awesome. All right. I want to like briefly touch on this whole, I don't want to stay here long, right? Because with the full on like endorsement of, you know, Ritter being QB1, I think the reason why they were holding that close to the vest is for the off chance that a QB was sitting there at 8. Because if the off chance that a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson is sitting there at 8, and you, up to the point you have let everybody know that you're willing to take a QB,
yeah,
then you have a better chance at getting a higher price. But if you roll into the draft already proclaiming Desmond as QB1, then you might not get the price that you're looking for if one of those guys is sitting there. I think that's the only reason why on a like poker face chess move type situation hadn't necessarily came out and said it. I do think that the intent all along was for, you know, Desmond to be QB1 in 23. So to
it could be all kinds of things too. Like, for example, like I just talked about it, like Terry Fontenot checks in with this kid and he's like, every time they check in with him, he's working, he's doing something, what have you. Maybe for all we know, they had somewhere, some timeline, some guidelines, whatever, that basically said, you know, if he does these things, then it essentially earns him a spot to at least give him the shot.
Right.
And so it could be that. It could be a lot of different
things. It could be a many different factors. Fred, we appreciate the $2.
What up, Fred?
Very much so. He says, 12-5, Ridder is the man. There's a good possibility. Like we got plenty of time to get into that aspect of it as the offseason and the summer drags on. But, you know, I think Ridder has – I'll put it to you like this. I think Ridder has as good of a chance this season as, you know, all but about maybe one of the rookies in this draft class. You know, so I think, you know, you're doing fine by – you know, going into the season with him. now, allergies, boy. So when it comes to Lamar Jackson, and I'm going to go ahead and move into this little topic right here. We're going to kind of switch into this. The national media's like outlook on the Falcons. Okay. From word go, from the whole point of like Jackson basically, you know, looking like he was going to be a free agent because of the Desmond thing last year, everybody, all the national pundits, all the national media, all those guys immediately just assumed that the Falcons were going to be in the hunt for Lamar Jackson. They took the Desmond's Watson stuff or Desmond Deshaun Watson stuff. They took the Deshaun Watson stuff and then off of that made a full on assumption that we were going to be in the market for Lamar Jackson. And I think that was a false assumption from the get go. I think and I said it last year, I've said it earlier this year, and I'll continue to say it until I'm blue in the face. The Deshaun Watson thing was a unique case because of his relationship with Arthur Blank. Period. Point blank. Because of his relationship, the previous relationship, we all know that Deshaun Watson grew up in that area, that Deshaun Watson was like routinely around the Falcons organization as a young man, you know, a high school kid. He was the ball boy. He was very much around the Falcons organization and had a really good relationship with Arthur Blank. Full on, honestly believe that was the only reason why we were in on Deshaun Watson. Yeah. I can almost guarantee you that they would have went through last year with Matt Ryan as their QB. They still probably would have drafted somebody like a Desmond in the third round. And probably would have went one more year with Matt Ryan to see if they could get it rolling. If they couldn't, they would have walked away from him at the end of this past season when it was financially like made more sense for them to do so. And they would have started a rebuild. Yep. I think when Watson called Blank, that sped up all that. And so because of that situation, everybody just automatically assumed we were going to be in on Watson. Now, not Watson, Jackson. So now let's take a look at Jackson. Something we have said a handful of times, and we'll say this piece, and Jonathan, if you want to add something to it, go for it, and then I'm going to leave it be. Probably not going to talk about Jackson anymore. But there's this like little snippets going around today talking about how much sleep and stuff like that was Jackson getting and his nutrition. And I first saw that as being odd. I was like, why do people care about that? You know? And then it dawned on me. How many practices did he miss last year because he was sick? Like, he missed a lot of practices because he was sick. Now, he'd play in the game, but he'd missed the practice because he was sick. Now, you couple that with missing...
Is he pulling like an Allen Iverson? Man, we're talking about practice.
I don't know. But now, you add being sick, you add missing like 10 or 13 games the past 2 years. Then you add in now how the fact that he doesn't have proper representation that the rest of the NFL is used to dealing with. And now you add in some of the antics that he's, you know, doing right now. He's not helping himself.
Yeah.
Like basically negotiating in the media. Now, maybe he feels like he needs to. But if you're an outside organization looking in, you take all those, then couple with wanting a fully guaranteed contract, which is not something the NFL wants to do. Not in a league that has a hard cap. This is not baseball. Yep. This is not basketball. Both of those leagues, you could pay a luxury tax if you go over. Yep. Teams are willing to do so. The Yankees, the Lakers, the Dodgers. Like, those teams are willing to overpay go over the luxury tax. Their leagues are a soft cap league. If we transition to a soft cap league, then I would fully understand, like, starting to hand out guaranteed contracts.
Yep.
Okay? So the league don't want to do that. They don't want to hand out guaranteed contracts because two things, cap, hard cap, and loss of control. Like, full on, right? Loss of, like, the power then shifts to the players.
And everybody wants to, you know, and you say stuff like that, and then like people are just like, well, that's collusion if the league doesn't want to do it. But I'll say this, like, regardless of what you think of decisions that are made, personnel decisions or what have you, and how teams are constructed around the league, nobody, and I mean nobody, that is a GM or higher in this league, none of them are idiots. Okay. So they exactly what you just said, like, why am I, and look, if Lamar won the MVP 4 years ago, maybe was in the running on another couple of years or whatever, but lost out, but he also stayed healthy and all those things, then you go looking for that kind of contract. He won MVP, hasn't really even come close to matching that season since then.
Nope.
And especially last couple seasons, the injuries. And then last season, when he was in, the guy was the cause of a lot of problems on the offense with fumbles and stuff like that. He had a lot of issues, after the first handful of games of the season, right. He started to run into problems where they were up by like two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and then their offense would just go completely silent.
Yep. We've seen all too much here.
Exactly. And so these guys see this. They know, like, I guarantee you, when Deshaun Watson signed his deal, every GM wanted to literally scream at
the house. Oh, not just GM, every owner.
Yeah.
Wanted to like wring Jim Haslett's neck. For doing like, that.
What are you doing? And it's a bad look too, because look, if you're going to give that kind of contract out, if you were going to, okay, you don't give it to a guy for two things. You don't give it to a guy that hadn't played in a year.
Yep.
All right. So you don't really 100% know exactly where he's at. Okay. And two, you don't give it to a guy with his kind of character issues.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
That's just me personally. If you feel differently, that's up to you. And I'm not going to hate you for it or anything like that. But like for me, I'm not giving a guy $230 million guaranteed fully when you never know when, you could try to keep this guy under lock and key, But you never know when the next media scandal pops up because he couldn't keep his hands to himself.
Exactly.
You know, he's a guy that has put himself in bad positions already. And now you're going to give him all this money and you're going to throw out the red carpet for him. And you're going to treat him like a king. And you're just going to do nothing but inflate that ego that was already high because he thought he could get away with what he was doing before. And he technically did get away with it. No doubt.
And so, like, you know, when we speak about Lamar and you talk about collusion, if all of us walked into a store and there's, you know, a Matt Ryan jersey hanging on the rack, framed up quite nicely, and they want $300 for it, and we all decide we ain't paying $300 for it, I don't have to talk to you for you to come to the same conclusion. Yeah. And that's not collusion. I hate to say that to people, but that's not collusion. If we all decide independently that something is too overpriced and we don't want to pay that much money for something, that's just, it's too overpriced. And right now, unfortunately, Lamar Jackson isn't necessarily helping himself. So, all right, I'll move off of that because unless he ends up, you know, being here, I don't really feel like talking about it much anymore. I will say though, as far as like the national media outlet stuff, I've seen a lot of like grades going on that have the Falcons with like a C or a D, you know, for their offseason moves, which I find to be, you know, interesting. You sign the best free safety in the league. You extend the best right guard in the league. You bring in a better than average defensive tackle. You can somewhat kind of question if the Caden Ellis, who like had one decent year and not even a full year, if he was worth a 3-year deal, you know, but all the moves that have been made are shoring up positions along with like the move today, you know, with signing Scotty Miller, which we'll get into here in a minute. But all the moves that have been made so far are good moves that you're not actually paying out the nose for. And so I don't understand. And all of it really circles around the fact that you're rolling into the season with Desmond as your starting quarterback. And people just, the outside media just cannot accept that. Like they cannot accept that was your plan. Like Football Outsiders had it, saying it's like they gave us a D because there was no coherent plan. What? No coherent plan. Like no coherent plan that you could see. I mean, I myself can see, you know, quite a bit what the plan is, what the plan is going forward. You know, if your whole thing is rested on the fact that they didn't go after Lamar, or they didn't trade up to one to get a quarterback. Like, that don't make any sense to me. John, you're muted if you want to unmute yourself before you start talking.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. But like, yeah, like Fred, I love Fred. He says, the media always hates us, JR. Look, the media hating us is the reason why I'm sitting here talking to y'all. You know, Millie says, hold up, JR. Bates is probably second, but I don't know about the best free safety in the league. Derwin James plays that position too. Okay, look, Derwin James he's on a different level. Sorry. I don't know if I really consider him a free safety. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't watch a ton of Derwin James, but I know Derwin James is a really good safety. I thought he was more of a like strong safety type. So fine. You could argue that Jesse Bates is one of the best. I'll amend my statement here. One of the best free safeties in the league.
Yeah. Look, of the guys that were available at free safety this offseason, he was the best. He was the best. And, you know, and arguably, you know, you could look at free safeties around the league and say he's you know, top three. So right. you got a top three free safety in the league in your offseason. And now the reason, because he signs with the Falcons, if this guy had gone to Dallas. San Francisco, if he had gone to Cleveland or whatever, everybody been like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Best thing in the world.
Comes to Atlanta. Yep. It's like,
meh. Willie Dog tips $5, which we appreciate greatly. He says, we'll catch the replay after work. Thank you, sir. He says, thanks for the healthy dose of content. We try. The national media can't hold a candle to the in-depth analysis P4P brings. We try. And, you know, to bring is like, you know, the whole old fair and balanced kind of thing. We call it crap when we think it's crap. And we, you know, try to call it, you know, good when we think it's good. And I don't understand how you can look at this, you know, what we have done, the moves that we have made, and try to say it's incoherent. Yeah. Like that really kind of almost struck me as lazy, especially from Football Outsiders. Like,
well, it's because we're not trying to be the Chiefs or the Jaguars or the, you know, whoever else you want to, you know, the Eagles. We're not trying to be those teams. We're not trying to build a team that's going to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game, that, you know, throws for 500 yards every game and scores four touchdowns through the air. We're building a team that wants to hit you in the face. And then when we're done doing that, we're going to hit you in the face again.
Right.
And we're going to keep doing it until you give up. Like, that's the kind of team. Now, whether or not we end up beating that team, we'll see. But based on the signings that we did, that we've done up to this point, like past couple seasons, the drafts that we've done, the free agency this year, we're looking to be probably more of an old school type team. We want to run the ball down your throat, and we want to stop the run and hit your quarterback and make you beg for mercy. That's what, like, we want to do.
Right. Football is a flat circle in a sense. Like, concepts come and go. It's the punch and counterpunch of this league. Like, the offenses have went to spread out, shiftier, faster receivers. Defenses responded with Deion Jones style linebackers. So for a handful of teams, this is the counterpunch to lighter boxes.
Yep.
Which is, now we're going to run at you with, you know, 220 pound running backs and try to grind you into oblivion. Go ahead. What you got there?
Millie, since we're not getting Lamar, let's start a new campaign. What's up with Jeffrey Simmons?
Dude, I take that. Like, you know, if you're going to be handing out, you know, if we're going to be shipping off draft picks, give me one of the better interior 25-year-old defensive linemen who are absolute studs. I'll take that all day long.
I think if we do anything like that, it'll be post-draft.
So
we give up anything next year.
Right. Okay. Atlanta GA Faithful says he did a video on Joe Gazzanio, the defensive end guy. He's, from the best I could tell and what I've seen, he is a depth signing, that one of those low risk, high rewards type deals. If he comes in and can give you some production, then awesome. But he's, you know, if I ain't mistaken, like, he's 6'2", 6'3", 280-something pound defensive end. Like, he's the first, like, big defensive end that we have signed that we all felt like Nielsen was going to gravitate towards from his days. He says, how old is Joe? I think he's only 26, 27? 26. Atlanta GA saying 26. That's what I was thinking. He was on 26. But yeah, there's a growing consensus that the first round pick will probably be a defensive end, if not a cornerback. And so I would imagine somebody like, you know, Isaac Crime saying, you know, Tyree Wilson and Keon White in the second. Either one of those guys, like, if Wilson's sitting there in the first, unless they just absolutely love Christian Gonzalez or Devon Witherspoon, I could easily see Tyree Wilson being the pick. He fits the mold that
and I would take Keon White in the second.
Oh, dude, all day long. Now, as far as like, you know, grades, A, you're trying to give a grade before you ever even get to the draft is hilarious to me. But B, anybody who, like, typically speaking, anybody who wins the off-season grading tends to not fare well in the season. So I'll take the D's and the C's as far as that is concerned. Let's see. Tony Rice says, did either of you hear that we signed free agent and former Tampa Bay slot receiver Scotty Miller an hour ago, so that means Zacchaeus will not be back with us. You must be following me on Twitter. Good there, Tony Wright, because we did sign Scotty Miller. And what I think that does provide more than likely is that Lamine Zacchaeus is probably not coming back. I would imagine. Because it seems like the direction they want to go with that slot receiver, third receiver, fourth, fifth target is somebody who's fast. And Scotty Miller's got some speed. He's got some wheels for sure.
Yes, he absolutely has some speed. Like when I saw him pop up, I was like, oh, okay, that could be your you know, you got the redwoods out here, and we're gonna get the little spruce bush in between them. But yeah, he's that guy that, like, everybody's so concerned about Pitts and London and Jonnu Smith and all that, you know, your safeties, you know, think you're going one way. This guy pops you over the top. I could see him, you know, not being wide receiver two or anything like that, or even three, you know, probably four. But he could be that guy that just every now and then you're not expecting it and guy just cleans your clock, and, yep. That's, and, you know, it's nice to have a guy like that if that's what he turns into.
Exactly. Like, he's a guy who just, you know, could pop open, you know, grab an underneath slant and, you know, house it from pretty much anywhere on the field because of his speed, which is
pull a Demir Bird, like, right. You know, against Carolina.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, at to this point, that's what this offense was missing. And it seems like, you know, last year they were trying to add the Thunder with guys like Drake London, you know, guys like Tyler Algier, even bringing back Jonnu Smith this year. You're adding that Thunder, and now you're trying to bring it back with some Lightning. So I like the signing of Scotty Miller. I'll be interested to see just how, like, involved is he in the game plan on a weekly basis. Because, like, Demir Bird and, you know, Cardale Hodge, some of the faster receivers from last year, didn't necessarily factor into the game plan a ton. But other circumstances, you know, you couldn't hit a deep ball to save your life last year. So maybe those, you know, maybe that stuff changes. And now you have a guy who can take the top off the defense. I still expect them to add a speedier running back as well. Like, there was mentioned today that Kendry Miller out of Eastern Carolina, I believe, had a top 30 visit with the Falcons, along with last week Tajay Spears. Those are some of the two faster running backs in this draft coming up. So I would still very much expect them to add a speedy back in the backfield to go along with Tyler Algier. Let's see. I actually kind of thought that was funny. Tony Wright says, and former Raiders/Falcons receiver Brian Edwards signed with the Aints. They can have
it. Yes.
Because last year, if he couldn't get on the field and make a catch, then yeah. I mean, he gets reunited with Derek Carr, somebody who's a little bit more familiar with him. So who knows?
Yeah.
Keaton, but yeah, Mitchell. I think I said something else. It's Keaton Mitchell. Thank you, yeah, Nathan, for catching me there. So, but yeah, I was, you know, I'm encouraged by the Scotty Miller signing. You know, it's going to be cheap. So,
it's a cheap signing, which is what I think we're going to see a lot more of. I say a lot more, but I mean, hell, we're at the point now where I think we got like one or two more signings that, you know, might happen. And then, because I think Rashawn Evans, because Terry came out and basically said, hey, we're trying to bring him back.
Right.
So, you know, that may happen. And then you're gonna have the draft that's gonna bring in potentially up to eight guys, maybe less if we do a trade up scenario or something like that. Like personally, let's say my perfect draft. And I talked about this in a video that you guys haven't seen yet. but the spoilers. No, my perfect like opening night draft is Jalen Carter falls to 8. We pick him up, and then we go the rest of the first round, and we somehow get back into the first round in like the early to mid 20s, and we pick up Jahmyr Gibbs. That would be my perfect like day one draft for the Falcons, for me personally.
Millie says, Scotty Miller kind of rules out Tank Dell for me. Well, yeah, he kind of does.
You say that, but I saw somebody, I don't know who did it, but who posted it, but I saw somebody on Twitter like, this is like Scotty Miller's not a long term signing.
He's a 1 year.
He's a guy you bring in for a year. If you want a guy like a Tank Dell that, you know, then you bring him in, if you were to bring him in this year. He can learn from a Scotty Miller, a guy who's been in the league for a few years. And that can help him so that next year when you don't have Scotty Miller, Tank Dell becomes your Scotty Miller. So
possible.
You know, there's all kinds of things.
King says this is going to be a short pass and run the ball team to tear down defenses and waste clock. Also, it won't put pressure on Ritter right away. Arthur is going to try to play shootout. I don't know if we might be thinking different things.
I think saying Arthur isn't going to play
shootout. That's what I'm thinking there too. Now, that's what we thought we were going to get last year, right? We thought we were going to get a team that was more like the short intermediate passes, and it just didn't really necessarily develop a ton. Now again, different QB situation. But it really seemed like it was more of like, the passes were more of the 10 to 20 yard downfield range, which is more the intermediate passes. It seemed like a lot of the targets were designed to pick up that kind of a chunk. And then they were just going to try to grind you down with running the ball. Now, I don't know if that changes with a full off season of, you know, Ritter being in the fold as, you know, your starting quarterback. He, like, the passing definitely looked better the past, like, the last two games for sure. So I don't know if it will open up the passing game come next year, but I know he's not scared to pass the ball because he even said himself the year before, because he was talking about, Arthur Smith was talking about Kyle Pitts. And he was talking about the year previous, you know, they threw the ball almost 200 times more than, I think it was like 150 times more than what they did last year, obviously, because you had Ryan as your quarterback. And I think now with having Janu Smith in the fold, who can give you, you know, that inline blocking, I can envision where you're going to have possibly have, you know, Pitts in the slot or split out wide more than like you did in his rookie year. But in his rookie year, you remember we had Lee Smith. Like, you had a lot of two tight end sets, but you had Pitts split out wide with Lee Smith in line because Lee Smith gave you the blocking. So, you're muted again.
God bless it.
Yeah, come on.
I'm trying to make sure I don't cough into the mic, and I told
you. I got you. No, you're doing it.
But no, the so what I don't think he's scared to pass, but I think in a perfect world, like not as extreme as this, but he kind of wants to be what the Yellow Jackets were when they had Paul Johnson. Paul Johnson didn't want to pass the ball, obviously.
Right.
I'm not saying we're going to run the triple option. We're not doing that. But his philosophy was, when I do pass, I want it to be extremely impactful.
Right.
And I think a lesser version of that is what Arthur Smith wants. He wants to pound you with the run, pick up some first downs here and there with some short passes, but then like he wants to pound you, play action, and then take his shots.
Right.
Like, that's what he wants.
Yep.
For this. And I hope he's able to do it. I hope we're able to do it, because I really like that, because it reminds me of when we went to the 98 Super Bowl team. That's what they were. They were Jamal Anderson. You're going to see him all day long, 350, whatever times it was in that season that he ran it. And you're going to get so tired of seeing this guy that you're going to put 9, maybe even 10 guys in the box to try to stop him. And when you do, we're going to play action, throw it over your head, and that's what we're going to do. And teams knew we were going to do it, and we still beat them. So
that's the thing, is like even this past year, like there were times like from the Browns game on that you knew that all they were going to do is run the ball, and they couldn't stop them. And that's, I like that aspect. Millie says, but none of them other tight ends was Janu though. They scared nobody. And that's going to be the difference this year. I really feel like Janu is one of the more underrated moves so far, because like even today when they were talking to Smith, he brought up Janu, and he views Janu like where he can line him up anywhere.
Yes.
Like legitimately line him up in the backfield. He said, you're right. That's what I'm saying. He commented, he said, for us, Janu is like, a running back, a receiver, a tight end. Like, Janu is a chess piece. I keep telling y'all people this, and I know y'all, ain't none of y'all like discrediting me, but I keep saying it, is this, they're trying very hard for a positionless football team. Outside of some things that you can't do, as far as obviously quarterback has to be quarterback, offensive linemen have to be offensive linemen. But as far as like skill guys goes, let's see. Nick says, and I'm not picking on Nick, I've just seen this a lot. Like Nick Mangalo says, Ragone's game planning sucks. See, this is where I disagree. And in my downtime, I'm doing a research project that I don't know what's going to come of it yet, but I literally, and I'll pull it out right here. This notebook right here. Like I literally drew out and drew. I'll open it to one so y'all can see what I'm talking about. I literally drew every play that they ran against the Bucks last year in week 18. Legitimately drew every one of them. Now I'm a game and a 49ers game. I want to see, because I don't think
JR seems like he might be having some issues.
Hold on.
Yep.
Why am I?
We lost you for a second.
Yeah, we did. I think everything's good now. I don't know. It was acting stupid. Trying to tell me that I didn't have internet, which is retarded because I'm hardwired in.
Yep.
I'm going to see, like, I really want to see what the play designs like look like, because I got a feeling that it ain't nearly as different as some people like to think that it is. I think that we're being more harsh on our team because it's our team.
Yes.
And because it looks a little different. So that's
well. And I see that, because the problem is, like, a lot of times when we go and watch, we don't even necessarily go and watch other teams. What ends up happening is we end up watching the highlight packages from other teams, and we see nothing but highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight. And at least in my mind, that just, because I've caught myself doing that before, where I'm like, this is, why can we not do this? Why are we not this explosive, and this and that and the other? Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're not or can't be. It's just that I'm so used to seeing it over and over and over again when I'm watching the Sports Center highlights and all this other stuff. But yeah, if we want to look at last year and say, oh, Arthur Smith's play calling is whatever, I'm just going to say, look, Mariota was a starting quarterback, and I found it absolutely hilarious. And I understand they got to do it. It's PR. But I found it hilarious watching the Eagles
try to hype him up.
I was like, what is going on? And I saw more than a few people like, hey, you forgot one, like showing him the
throwing it from his back.
I'm throwing it from his back kind of situation.
Exactly. All right, let's see here. I tend to agree with Tony. Signing Janoo was a great signing, as Janoo will make Pitts better and Pitts will make Janoo better. Stay tuned. I challenge all y'all to go back and look at the production that Janoo Smith and Anthony Firkser had for the 2 years that they were together at up in Tennessee. The one signing that I'm waiting for to be announced is Michael Pruitt. I would imagine that they would bring him back as a third, but they brought back Parker Hesse. So that may be their, like, Michael Pruitt may be out. Like, Janoo Smith may be a Michael Pruitt upgrade, which would suck, because Michael was fun to watch last year.
I mean, all he did was score touchdowns, man.
That's right. He was touchdown maker. Let's see. Okay. Millie says, question is, do I draft Pitts high again this year in fantasy? I think you'll actually be able to get him a little bit lower. I think a lot of people will be out on him. I'm not much of a fantasy guy, but I think a lot of people will be out on him. So you may not have to draft him nearly as high myself.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be like, we're going to do, because we have Ritter, the offense is going to stink. And like, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be out on Pitts, and it depends on the league, but yeah, you probably drop a lower pick on him.
I definitely feel that way. Wallace, he says, Witherspoon is more aggressive than Gonzalez. Next week we will have a video out with a gentleman who came on and really gave us a lot of insightful information on the cornerback. So you're definitely going to check that out. That'll probably be next Thursday when that comes out. This Thursday, we have a video coming out that I sat down with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, and me and him talked O-lineman. So it was a really good conversation. Hopefully y'all will enjoy that. He brings up some names that y'all might not be thinking, because that, up to this point, we're still kind of in flux on who our left guard is going to be. Everybody feels like that we're going to bring back Wilkerson, but it hasn't happened as of yet. We haven't brought any other outside, so technically speaking, as of right now, your offensive line hasn't gotten any better than what it was last year. So I spent some time with Aaron talking about O-linemen and who we could go out and target, and especially in the draft. Let's see. Okay, Noah E says, why not trade for Lance and pair him with Pitts for more competition for Ritter? Pair him with Pitt. What? Oh, you're talking about, okay, maybe pairing Trey Lance with Pitts. Okay, if you're talking about Trey Lance, one thing to keep in mind with Trey Lance, he hasn't played a full season in about 4 years. Because he was out the COVID year. He got drafted the next year. Sat behind Garoppolo. played two games last year and got hurt and didn't play all season. So that's three years.
And he's going to be hurt to start the season,
right,
is my understanding.
Right.
Because like the likelihood is that the starting quarterback for the 49ers day one is probably going to be Sam Darnold.
Right. And so my deal is like I don't think you're going to get him for what you're willing to give up. Because like for a guy who hasn't really played a down in 3 years, I'm not giving you more than about a fourth or fifth rounder for him. And I can't see them coming off
give that up for a first, a number one overall draft pick
that they traded up, or you know, to number the, you know, traded up and gave up capital to get. So I like, you know, Trey Lance. He was the quarterback that I liked in that draft, but I just don't see them making that move. This is a guy I do forget about, Pantera, the 6'7" Fitzpatrick from Georgia. He was on IR. You're right. I do forget about Fitzpatrick. And he was definitely a blocking tight end that in Georgia that didn't really get a chance to do much with guys like Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington. So I guess I don't think about him because I don't really outside of blocking, I don't know what he really represents for you. You know,
yep. He's basically your extra lineman when you don't want to put out a lineman,
an actual lineman. Yeah. Eric Mack, I tend to agree. Trey Lance has to prove he's worthy, right? And he hadn't had a chance to yet.
And unfortunately, he probably won't get his chance before he leaves San Francisco because, Brock Purdy is going to have do some recovery. But as soon as he's back, he's QB1.
Right. And they've already pretty much said that if they were both healthy, that Purdy would be taking the QB1 snaps.
Yep.
So that tells you a lot there. Like, I tell you this, I ain't gonna lie. If you could throw a fifth or even one of the fours, I would entertain that. Because I personally thought Trey Lance was very talented and fit this what Arthur Smith wanted to do very well. But I ain't giving up more. That fourth is the absolute highest. And I would like everybody's been alluding to, I would try to wait until give up a pick for next year. Like I wouldn't try to give up one this year to see what, Millie you're making me laugh today. Fitzpatrick is literally one sausage and gravy biscuit away from being a tackle.
Man, don't I know it, man. Sausage and gravy is so good,
man. Come on.
Hungry.
I'm about to say, I ain't, man, I've been trying to not be as rotund myself and what I wouldn't give for a gravy, sausage gravy biscuit. Blue Precision says, I think Ritter is going to turn out to be special for us. He's slept on. I think he is very much slept on. Like, I keep saying it, and people think I'm being negative, but I could easily see Ritter, his floor being Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins has been in this league for 10 years now. Yeah. A lot of people forget, only because it was a 3-year deal and it was the amount of guarantees that other quarterbacks have gotten. But Kirk Cousins was the first one to get a fully guaranteed contract. Yeah, 3-year, $84 million contract.
Now I'll tell you right now, if the players are wanting fully guaranteed contracts with the current situation as it stands with the cap, it's going to have to be more like in line with that kind of a deal. With that.
That's where I thought we were heading, to be completely honest.
The high end numbers are going to have to come down. You're probably not going to get as many years out of it. And you're just essentially just going to say like, okay, normally I would have done a deal and gotten $40 million guaranteed or whatever in that deal. Well, now that same deal is 3 years, $40 million fully guaranteed and be done with it. Like if you're going to go, I think that's probably a far more palatable situation for the owners than we're going to pay $250 million to a quarterback, especially a guy who is shown to be injury prone potential. You know,
there's a yep. I completely okay. I want to. There's two things I want to make. I'm just reading this from Scott Blair. It says, last one as I start writing on Fontenot on remaining active and free agent. He says we still have some irons out. We're always looking for players. They may not be high profile deals, but we're still looking. We still want to sign some players heading up to the draft. We're always open. So, like, you might get some more like Scotty Miller type stuff. You know, which is good. I want to also address this because I see this get brought up a lot. Tony Wright says, here's another fact. In 2022, Jahmyr Slayer was drafted in the sixth round, 195. We drafted Schaefer in the sixth round at 190. And I see people like a lot of times like say, oh man, you know, what could have been, blah, blah, blah. I will say this. Slayer was he's a tackle. Like he's a left tackle. Like, we didn't draft him, in my opinion, because he was a left tackle. And I get it that he came in as a backup to Rashawn Slater when it went down and played well, played extremely well. Yep. At tackle, not guard. Not saying that he couldn't play guard. I'm just saying when we drafted Schaefer over Slayer, I think it was solely because of he was a guard. In my opinion. So, you know,
we had our swing tackle.
Right.
We had a stalwart left tackle in Jake Matthews. Yep. So, you know, and the guy's going to play for a few more years. And so that was not a priority for them to go and get. And they felt like when Sailor went, you know, on their board, somebody else was BPA. Right.
I am never going to argue. I'm not, and I'm not saying you're trying to argue, Tony. Please don't think I'm saying that, but I'm never going to like argue over sixth and seventh round players. If one of them hits, then awesome. So Slayer played the rest of the season, and my point that Schaefer should go out and take the left guard position. And maybe he does.
Absolutely.
Maybe he does. If that was the point that you were making, sorry, I just seen over the season, I had just seen so many people when Slayer got put in the position and succeeded, like my like Twitter that is full of like very pessimistic Falcon fans, and you know, Falcons like amateur analysts like I am, like started bemoaning immediately. Maybe I was having PTSD on that one. Yep. GA Texas boy says, do Hennessy or Schaefer take the left guard spot? I think they really liked what they had in Hennessy.
Yeah. We don't know what Schaefer can do.
Right.
So like we, you know, the guy was basically inactive the whole season, or was he on IR? I can't remember.
I think he was on IR for a good bit of it. And if he did get reactivated, he didn't make it onto the active roster. So he's going to have to come in and fight for sure.
And Hennessy at left guard, not at center. Hennessy at left guard, when he did play the last few games, he came in and he looked pretty good. He got beat a couple times, but like he looked pretty good. He didn't look like a complete and utter, you know, turnstile.
No,
at left guard. So
he looked better than he did in his rookie season at left guard. That's for sure. Pantera asks, why is Leonard Floyd still unemployed after the draft? A team that missed the DN roulette will go get him though. I think he's still employed, possibly because you know he's wanting too much money. But I think this is the bigger thing. Floyd benefited from having Aaron Donald, just like Dante Fowler benefited from having Aaron Donald. And teams probably know that and see that. And he may be thinking that he's worth more than what he really is, in my opinion.
he would need to go to someplace probably like if he doesn't have Aaron Donald, he's going to have to go to someplace like probably Philadelphia.
Yep.
And he'll blow up there because he's got Fletcher Cox. He doesn't have Javon Hargraves anymore, but they're going to, you know, they still got Davis that they drafted. You know, and he's, you know, he's going to be probably be a guy. So, because they don't, apparently when they draft guys, they always pan out. It's infuriating because it's like, it seems like they've always had some stud defensive tackle guy for like the last
40 years,
century or something like that.
King Seven says, any pretty good players left in free agency besides Yannick? Yes. If you're talking about, even if you're just talking about like defensive end wise, you have like Yannick is up there, but Yannick is. I think I saw Aaron Freeman tweet out, and it's something that made a lot of sense to me. You already have Yannick at home, so to speak, in AK-47. Same type of build, same type of player. You also have a potential Yannick in D'Angelo Malone. Same type of build, same type of player. Okay? So they're probably wanting and hoping that one of those two guys this year will step up. Okay? So when I look at the free agent market at veteran defensive end, because I agree, we still need to bring in a veteran defensive end. What are they waiting for? All right. First of all, you talk to Calais Campbell. So that shows you that they're interested. They may be wanting to do some more smaller deals. So a guy like Dwayne Smoot, Kentavious Street is still out there. Like I said, Dwayne Smoot's still out there. There's a handful of guys who are still out there on the market that, you know, could fill that big DN role. Now, you brought in the guy from the Chargers, Jose or Joe, I can't remember. I'm going to have to hear his last name before I try to say it. But, yeah, you brought him in, so there's a depth piece.
Yeah, like the, you know, somebody, you know, they're asking like, what are they waiting for? What is everybody else waiting for?
Right.
These guys, they're all still out there.
They're all still,
it's not like we waited around and they got snapped up. Like those, all those guys are still out there. Frank Clark is still out there. That guy's been out there and he's been a really big contributing factor to defenses that have won a couple Super Bowls over the last few years. So like, why is he not signed somewhere? It's just a situation where you're probably right that guys are looking for, it could be guys are looking for bigger money. Could be that guys think they're worth more money than what they are because they were playing with those kinds of guys.
I know. They tweeted out that little card. It was like, oh, signed. And I was like, man, I said, who? And that's bad if I have to say who, because I spent way too much time like perusing all this stuff. I had no clue who that guy was. So we'll see if he turns into something or amounts to anything other than just a good backup piece. So we'll see how that goes.
I haven't said it here. I've said it on Twitter somewhere. This is, you know, yes, is this, you know, everybody says this is the first year of the rebuild. This is the first year of the rebuild. This team is not going to be complete after this free agency, after this draft, after this offseason. This team is not going to be complete. This is the first step to getting to where you want to go. You know, even if we'd have had $100 million, this team wouldn't be the team, like the end goal, one offseason.
Like, no, it's hard to do that.
Yeah, so now could we luck out and some guys that we, you know, the Graziano, the guy we've talked about him all day.
Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller. Ritter balls out and is everybody looks at him as the next Mahomes. Who knows? All of that stuff could happen. And yeah, we could be sitting here going to the Super Bowl this year. Do I think that's going to happen?
Probably not. Right.
Yeah, but it's going to take this offseason and at minimum probably next offseason before you really get this team built to where you really want to be. Now, if we overachieve this year and do more than what we think we're going to do, I am in love with that.
Right.
But
see, I don't know if I agree, Millie. He says, but it's still playoff or bust. I don't think so. Not in the way I think for us fans it's playoff or bust. But keep in mind, last year, up until like the last, you know, going into the last two games, three games at most, you were in contention for the NFC South. Like, you were in contention. And you will be in contention again this year. Like, if he did that, if this coaching staff was able to do what they did and win seven games with the roster that they had last year, then we're going to be a better team this year. We have a better roster. Jonathan's not negative. Now, unmute yourself. You're going to be negative if you keep yourself muted.
Yeah, I know. I'm not negative. I am realistic because I have been a fan for so many years, and I have gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, this offseason is the offseason, and it just doesn't happen. And so, like, now I'll say this, Nick, 9-9.
You can't do 9-9.
Can't do 9-9.
It's only 17 games.
But I'll say 10-7, 11-6 is probably where we're at, would be my guess. Now, things can bounce wrong and stuff like that, and we can be a couple games below that.
I'm going to say, like, I'm going to predict, like, initially, before the draft, before I see anybody on the field. Now, and just like always, just like last year, just like the year before, I've reserved the right to change my mind, okay? But as we sit here on, oh, good Lord, it's 3/28. I didn't even realize that. Ugh. Anyway, yeah. As we see here on the 28th of March, I'm going to say that this is going to be Arthur Smith's first winning season. Like, he's won seven games past 2 years. I think this year, whether that translates us to being in the playoffs, winning the NFC South, I don't know at this point. But I could easily see this being, you know, the 9-8, 10-7, you know, range. Now, I'm going to make a concerted effort to go to every practice that I can, every, like, preseason game that I can, so on and so forth. If I come out of them like I did the first year Arthur Smith was here, and I watched that O-line and how bad it was and everything else, if I come out of there and going, oh God, we're in trouble, then I reserve the right to change my mind. But as I sit right here right now with the moves that we have made, I feel like I am with you. Okay. So it's winning season or bust.
Yes.
I think so. I think that we get a winning season this year.
Well, I just look at it as we were so close. Like, literally, if three games last year had the ball bounce, like, hell, even in the last four games, you look at against the Saints, like, we were driving on the Saints to possibly go ahead or you know, win that game, and Drake London fumbles the ball at the end of the game.
Right.
Okay. You know, but there's literally probably four or five or six more games that if the ball just bounces a little bit differently for us instead of against us, you're looking at a team last year that had Mariota that would have probably had a winning season, wins your division, and goes to the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, probably doesn't do anything there, but no. They go to the playoffs. But that's with that team last year, with the deficiencies we had on offense. And all I can tell you is what I saw when Ritter came in from game one to game four. By game four, that offense felt like it was hopping.
Yep.
And that was
the Chargers. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The second Panthers game up there in Carolina. Oh God.
Yeah.
Like, that was horrible. Yeah. Nobody wanted to win that game. And
yeah.
Like, you take the Chargers game, the Panthers, the second Panthers game, and then if your defense was able to hold a lead in the first Saints game.
Yep.
That's three wins right there. So It's not a stretch for me to sit here today and tell you that I think we're going to have a winning team. You're going to have a quarterback who is far more competent in throwing the ball. You have a, you know, receiver who was coming on strong at the end of the season. You have your freak of nature tight end that comes back, and you know, is everything is projecting for him to come back and be just fine. And then you're adding guys like Mac Hollins, who should be a far better wide receiver too than, you know, Cardale Hodge, Demir Byrd, or Bryan Edwards, or Alden Tate. And then you just added Scotty Miller. You added some speed. Again, this is all before the draft. Like, we're going to add more players, and they're probably – Terry Fontenot himself alluded to probably going to sign some more smaller deals before we even get to the draft. So, all right, Millie's demanding a lot of my time today. You're going to have to send me a check there. We're doing a lot of like therapy there with you, Millie. Anyway,
he
says, quick question I've been asking everybody. How should you feel about DR4 if Heinicke beats him out in camp? Does Ritter still need more time then? It depends on what your definition of beating him out in camp. If every time Ritter drops back, he's throwing an interception in camp, and Heinicke comes in and is looking smooth, they better start Heinicke. Like, straight up. Yeah. I'll sit there today and say that. I don't think that that's going to happen. But if Heinicke comes out there and looks like, or if Ritter comes out and looks lost, dazed, confused, and like absolute garbage, then yes, that's why you brought Heinicke in.
Yeah.
So they better, you know, better start
Heinicke. But I'll say this, like one of the things that I've noticed is so many people talk about, you know, the thing that with Ritter that a lot of people online have against him is he's not flashy. He has all the physical traits, like the guy, you know, the RAS scale or whatever, the guy's up there. He's like 9.4, 9.5 or something like that.
Yeah, he's got everything.
He's got all the physical traits there, but he's just not flashy about it. The biggest trait with him coming out of college was, his processing, how quickly he processed things. And that probably over just about anything else, sort of, if you can't throw it 5 yards, then you got a problem. But I mean, as long as you can get it downfield, doesn't have to be the strongest arm in the game. As long as you can get it downfield, you can make those out pass, you know, passes on the outs to the sidelines, and he can do that. You know, if he can make those passes and you pair that with a mind that can process this stuff in a quicker fashion, that's how you become a good starting quarterback in the NFL.
That's it. Let's see, a few more as we start to wrap this thing up. Tony says, Witherspoon is the player Atlanta's Falcons should draft in the first round. Hopefully we can trade down a few spots, like from 8 to 11 with Tennessee, and draft him. I will encourage you very much so to watch the cornerback video that we put out next week. I think you'll really enjoy that. Let's see. Keep on rocking. True Black says, we're going to draft BPA. Terry did a good job this offseason so far. He said, you know his motto now. You know his M.O. Him, good Lord, his M.O. I'm going to get this English thing right.
Got it.
His M.O. is BPA. He told you that from day one, and he has stuck to it. Now, his BPA may be different than yours, but that's what he's doing.
I don't think Ritter will lose his job in practice. Man, we talk about practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I will agree with Chris. Ritter's accuracy was a question coming out of college, as well as that will need improvement this offseason. You are 100% correct. His accuracy was the big knock on him, and that was something that I noticed when I watched his tape, is there were times where he was throwing behind his receivers. He did that a little bit in preseason, but even in the games, it was better than it was even in preseason. And as far as like arm strength goes, I'm going to have to like clip it just so that I can have it on demand. But that that 40 yard plus rope to Drake London down the sideline, where he is up off his feet, and that's pure arm strength. Like, he's not planted in the ground at all, and he's throwing it 40 yards down the field. So he's got the arm strength.
He's got the arm strength. He has there was a couple times where he overthrew some guys, but overall, like, the accuracy compared to what I had seen of him in college, compared to what I had heard of scouts talking about, his accuracy surprised me. Not necessarily in the first game, though. He wasn't exactly like all over the place or anything. But by the time you got to the third and fourth game, that accuracy had gotten a lot better.
Right.
And I think, you know, you give this guy an off season, you let him build that chemistry with the wide receivers that he gets. Cause you saw the guy that he had the most amount with was Drake London, and like him, they were on it.
Yep.
And you give him that same chemistry with the other guys.
Man. Yep. All right. Is you talking about our first two picks, King, or the first two picks of the draft? Because if I'm going first two picks of the draft, I'm going to have to echo Pantera with Young and Stroud. Well, I got it going the other way, Stroud and then Young. But if you're talking about, if you're talking about our picks, who I think our first two picks will be, I think first round is going to be. I'm going to say it'll be Christian Gonzalez, and then our second round will be either Keon White or the kid out of Northwestern, 8080.
Adebowore?
Sure. Adebowore. We'll go with that. That's what I'm saying. What you got, Jonathan? What do you think?
All right. So I think if we – this is assuming no trades –
right, okay. No trades. We're just gonna say
if we stick at 8 and 44, I think that it is going to be. I am in agreement that I think it will probably be Christian Gonzalez, and then I think if we do that, then I think once you get to the second round, I think it might be. I really like that Adi guy. I think, right. You know, that guy is a freak
of
nature, running a sub 4.5 40 at
280 some bales. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute freak.
Absolute crazy. But yeah, so it would be, so I'm in agreement with you. I'd take him or Keon White.
If Keon's there. I got a feeling Keon's going to go in the first round, but that's just me.
He seems like the kind of guy that would go late in the first round to like New England,
right? That's what, like that, Belichick, or Kansas City or something. Or Kansas City or something like that.
And then years down the road, everybody's like, "Oh my God, this guy's amazing!" And it's like, God dang it!
Exactly. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Exactly.
Ada Tamiwa Adebowore.
Yeah, there you go. Have at it.
Yep.
If that happens, I'm going to call that man 8080. And yeah, I hope he like picks that. Anyway, so, all right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Like I said, on Thursday, we got a video coming out where I sit down and talk with Aaron Freeman about O-line play guys.
Real quick, Dwayne Cardell, so lockdown corners and backfield will bolster our pass rush.
Correct.
Adi is not backfield.
No, Adi he's a defensive end. Yeah, he's out of Northwestern. Yeah. And yes, a lockdown corner will bolster your pass rush every time.
Yes, it will.
Every time. So, all right, folks. Like I said, catch the videos coming out on Thursday. We'll have our mine and Jonathan's draft O-line stuff coming out on Saturday. And then we'll be back live on Tuesday. As always, Falcons fans, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128, GRIMM1128. Jonathan?
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
Yep. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.